Good morning, everyone. Wonderful to see you all here. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and I suppose I should also say to you, Happy New Year, which is, well, you know, actually within the liturgical church, Advent is the technical beginning of the new year. And a lot of things sort of are different in the church than are in the world. And of course, one of the things is Advent begins our liturgical calendar for the year, which means we are transitioning from the Gospel of Luke to the Gospel of Matthew, but also we are entering into the season of Advent. And as I mentioned to the kids, our candle today is the prophecy candle, the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was for the hope of the people of Israel. They hoped for a lot of things from that candle, and unfortunately, being human, as we all are, the hope that they had in the prophecy of the coming of the Messiah was actually too small. They anticipated the coming of a Messiah who would reinstate the reign of Israel, who would cleanse the government of the nation of Israel, who would cast out the enemies of the nation of Israel, and would make the temple a holy place for the people of Israel. The prophecies about Jesus were many and specific. They didn't just say that there would be perhaps one day somewhere, somehow, a Messiah to come. They said there will be one day born in this city at this address. Well, maybe not this address, but this city, from this family at this time, for this purpose, this individual, and that this individual would be there for the salvation of the nations. The prophecies about Jesus' coming were specific. Jesus was the hope the people had. And again, when I say they hoped too small, that is important to note. Because they thought that the Christ would be the Messiah who would save their people. What they did not realize, and perhaps they should have if they'd have paid attention to the fine print in the prophecies. And, you know, most of us don't read the fine print in most things we sign. Whether it's your mortgage, and I don't know if you all have gone through the process yet, of having gotten a mortgage or a second mortgage, I imagine most of you have, the quantity of trees that have to die in order for somebody's house to get purchased is just astounding. Paper, 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 signatures, signatures, signatures. 9 times out of 10, we don't know what they mean. If you've ever, at some point in your life, clicked accept on the fine print for some website or telephone app or service, you know you probably didn't read any of that legalese. You just clicked accept. And in many ways, this is how Israel treated the prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. They basically shrugged their shoulders and said, yes, we're looking forward to the Messiah coming, and yes, he's going to be great, and yes, he's going to fix all of our problems here in Israel. But again, the Old Testament prophecies about the coming of the Messiah were, many of them, very specific. And they used phrases like, for the salvation of the world. They had only seen as far as the borders of their own community and could not imagine salvation coming for anything more than Israel. So when Jesus arrived and his ministry and mission extended so far beyond their boundaries as to include the entirety of the earth, they largely rejected his message. They should not, because the prophecies were very detailed. And it's interesting because, of course, Jesus Christ, according to the Gospel of John, he's not just somebody who became God. He's not just somebody that one day God decided he needed a son. The Gospel of John tells us specifically that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the Son has always been with the Father, and the Father has always been with the Son, and the Holy Spirit has always been, and that the three are one God. and that they are all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. And that as Christ takes on for himself the personhood of humanity to come and live amongst us, he sets aside his glory, but not his godhood. And so this person who is Jesus, either a construction worker from Nazareth or the Almighty Son of God, because he's both, he engages in a ministry in which he is already all-knowing. And so it's not as though Jesus is engaged in a ministry and he says to himself, boy, I wonder what's going to happen next. I don't know. No, time and time again in the gospel, Jesus clearly knows what's going to happen next and warns his disciples ahead of time, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and there when we get to Jerusalem, they're going to kill me. Which is a pretty important insight that the disciples reject. He says, I go for the salvation of all mankind. And the disciples say, so Lord, when you're king of Israel, can we be your right-hand and left-hand man? Because they already have misunderstood how grand the scope of his ministry is. They, like Israel before them, did not hope for enough. Did not look forward to enough. Did not anticipate God's grace and mercy being so great. And so it's probably important to note that this being, this man who is God, who lived among them, that when he offered teaching and guidance, he almost never gave specifics about what would happen after his resurrection. In fact, Jesus is almost the anti-prophet, because he says things to them like, no one will know the coming of the day. No one on earth will know when I return. I will arrive like a thief in the night. So in the Old Testament, we have the prophet saying, we know where he's coming. We know who he's related to. We know what he's going to do. We even know his name from the Old Testament. All of these things were prophesied. Jesus' prophecies amount to things like, I can't tell you anything. You won't know. There's no guarantee that you will figure it out before I get here. In fact, I guarantee you won't. So why is Jesus' prophecy so different? And the answer is quite simple. Because the work that Jesus Christ came to accomplish, he has already accomplished. What Jesus Christ came to do, he did once and for all on the cross. For each and every one of us, for every single person who's ever drawn breath, the work that the Messiah came to accomplish, the work that was so much greater than what Israel could have imagined, was for the forgiveness of our sin, in order that we might be reunited with God the Father in a relationship that is unbroken. And it was accomplished that one day on the cross. Nothing more could be more important than what Jesus did then and there. And he wants us, his followers, his disciples, to stay focused on that. He keeps using words like stay awake. Don't let yourself be distracted. Don't let this world draw your eyes away from that one thing. Because the world will. I mean, that's just the nature of life, isn't it? That the world is constantly distracting us, making us worry about things or care for things that maybe we ought not care for, giving us something to look at other than Christ. And what he says to us is, yes, I am going to come again. And you won't know when I'm going to come. You don't need to know when I'm going to come. I'm going to come again, and the season of Advent isn't just about waiting for the Christ who is going to be born in the manger. The season of Advent is about reminding us that we are waiting for the Christ who will come again. And that in Christ's second coming, all that is wrong in this world will be made right. He wants us to stay focused, but not on that day. You see, if he told us, hey, look, it's going to be a Thursday, and it's going to be in January, and it's going to be in a year that ends in 5, and it begins with 2, and there's a 0, and another 2, boy, wouldn't we spend all our time trying to figure out which day that was? Wouldn't we spend all of our time either saying we need to be ready for that day, or I don't have to get ready until that day? Because that's basically the two kinds of people who get ready for Christmas, right? The people who say, it'll be fine, we'll get the Christmas stuff up eventually. They're the folks buying the scraggly tree on the tree lot on like December 23rd, because it's down to like the one Charlie Brown tree. Because they're like, we'll get to it. We know when Christmas is. It's December 25th. We've got plenty of time. And then there are the rest of us who are like, oh my gosh, it's just now November the 27th. I only have 4 of my Christmas trees up. How am I ever going to get this all done in time? Because we know when that day is, right? We know it's going to be December 25th. So we can either focus our attention and prep. Or we can focus our attention on, I don't have to worry about it until we get there. Jesus says, I'm not going to tell you the day when I come. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming, because instead, what I want you to be focused on is celebrating what I've already done. I want you to be focused on living the life I already want you to live. I want you to be focused on the forgiveness you've already received. I want you to be focused on the ministry I already want you to be doing. The day when I come again is my business. You don't have to worry about it. You do my work in this world. So during the season of Advent, we're very much about remembering the prophecy that brings us hope that the Messiah is going to make all that is wrong right, and knowing that it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. It is about learning what it means to be actively waiting for Christ who returns by living out the faith in the Christ child who is born every single day. As we get ready for Christmas, and we are, we're in that process, right? Whether you're the last second guy that's going to grab that scraggly tree on December 23rd, or whether you're the person who's already decked the halls and you're just finishing your Christmas shopping, we're all preparing for the holiday season. I say to you all, don't fall asleep. Don't let yourself be distracted. What matters most in this season is the person of the child in the manger, the ministry that he accomplished, the salvation that he brought, the forgiveness and renewal that we've received, and the new life that we lead. Yes, it's great to celebrate, and I'm with you. I love the celebration. But stay focused on the person we celebrate. Because this world will distract us with it'll distract us with Christmas. What a ridiculous concept that the world could distract us from Christ with Christmas. And yet, how easy is it to get focused on all of the trimmings and not the child? So, I echo the words of Christ when I say, stay awake, stay focused. We do not know when Christ will come again, but we knew when Christ came, and we know that Christ is here. Amen.